Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz, and you're listening to the Catechism in a Year podcast, where we encounter God's plan of sheer goodness for us, revealed in Scripture and passed down through the tradition of the Catholic faith. The Catechism in a Year is brought to you by Ascension. In 365 days, we'll read through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, discovering our identity in God's family as we journey together toward our heavenly home. This is day 104. We're reading paragraphs 737 to 747. As always, I'm using the Ascension edition of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which includes the Foundations of Faith approach. But of course, you can follow along with any recent version of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you want to download your own Catechism in the Year reading plan for free, you can visit ascensionpress.com/CIY. I mean, you've made it this far to day 104. Without it, maybe you have it like I have it. And I mark off every single day a couple little check marks. I like those check boxes. I don't know. I'm kind of a checkbox kind of a person. So you can get that Catechism in the Year reading plan by visiting ascensionpress.com/CIY. And lastly, you can, if you like, click follow or subscribe in your podcast app for daily updates and daily notifications. As I said, it is day 104. We're trucking right along. I don't know, you guys, I always go back to this, but I just am so grateful. I'm so grateful that we passed, you know, day 100, which is remarkable. In the Bible, in a year, day 100 was John chapter 6. It was the beginnings of John's gospel. So that was our first messianic checkpoint. So it's kind of that checkpoint where it's like, wow, okay, we're taking a little break and mixing it up a little bit. Now, we didn't do that now because we're just, you know, moving right on through the catechism. We are going to take not a break, but we're taking the next step tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're starting a new article. And the new article is, I believe, in the Holy Catholic Church. So there's going to be some, I think, pretty remarkable things we're going to teach about what is it that the church teaches about itself or herself? What does the church teach about the church? Today, though, of course, in paragraphs 737 to 747, we're concluding this section on the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit is the soul of the church, right? The Holy Spirit is at the heart of the church. It's what animates the church. And so we're not going to stop talking about the Holy Spirit, just like when we left the section on Jesus. We didn't stop talking about Jesus or the Father, etc. But there is just something so powerful as we make our way into talking about the church tomorrow for the next number of days, that today's topic, you know, today's focus is the Holy Spirit and the church. You know, yesterday we talked about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, that, you know, the birthday of the church and that God's gift of love, God's gift of reconciliation, forgiveness of sins. He restores us. He gives the first fruits, enables us to be able to love like him. And now we're talking about the Holy Spirit specifically as he relates to the church. Because we know this, right? Remember, we keep saying this and the church keeps reiterating the mission of Christ and the mission of the Holy Spirit are the same mission, that they are not separated. They are inseparable. Now, the mission of Christ and the Holy Spirit, inseparable from each other, is brought to completion in the church. Now, that's a big statement, but it also is a very true statement. Why? Because the church is the body of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, think about that. The mission of Christ and the Holy Spirit, always inseparable, always conjoined, is brought to completion in the church. Why? Because the church is the body of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, this is a remarkable thing to be able to say that that mission of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, is made present, is made active, is made effective in the life of the church. That's one of the reasons why we say that the church is the sacrament of the mission of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, right? The church is a sacrament in a unique way, right? So now we have the seven sacraments, but the church is a sacrament. Why? Because what do the sacraments do? Sacraments are a sacred sign instituted by Christ that give grace. Well, the church is a sacred body, right? Sacred kingdom, sacred body of Christ, temple of the Holy Spirit, instituted by Jesus. When Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock, I will build my church." And what's it do? It communicates God's grace. So we recognize that in a unique way, the church is a sacrament. I mean, we'll talk about that more as days unfold. But one of the things we're going to talk about, highlight today in paragraph 737, just to listen for this, there are four things that the Holy Spirit does in the church. First, the Spirit prepares us to go out with his grace in order to draw other people to Jesus. So the Spirit prepares us. Secondly, the Spirit manifests the risen Lord to like the apostles. And of course, the Holy Spirit continues to do that to us, manifests the risen Lord to them. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit makes present the mystery of Christ. Remember, I said many, many times that what Jesus made possible, the Holy Spirit makes actual. So the Holy Spirit makes present the mystery of Christ, especially in the Eucharist. And fourthly, the Holy Spirit brings human beings, brings men and women into communion with God so we can bear much fruit. So the Holy Spirit prepares, it manifests the Lord, it makes present all the graces of Jesus Christ, the mystery of Christ, and also brings us into communion with God. So just some things to reflect on as we launch into this day. Oh man, it is so incredible to recognize that the Holy Spirit continues to animate, again, as I said, to be the soul of the church. The Holy Spirit continues to animate the church. And so we ask, call upon the Holy Spirit now. We say, come Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name, come Holy Spirit and teach us how to pray. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit that we can learn how to pray, that we know how to live and have the strength to live as you're calling us to live, and that we can know you more deeply and actually learn how to love even more. You're working in your church and the temple of the Holy Spirit that is tangible in this world. It isn't just spiritual, but is visible in this world, in the Holy Catholic Church. We ask that you please open our eyes to be able to see that and open our hearts to receive this gift that you've given to us, because your church, which is divine, is also human. And as human, it's broken. And as human, it is full of sinners like myself. And so, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, send your Holy Spirit, the soul of the church, to us, that we can receive your body, we can serve your body on earth, and that we can be a part of your mission to the world. Help us to be true witnesses of your life, death, and resurrection, true witnesses of your grace and mercy and power and love to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said, it is day 104, reading paragraphs 737 to 747. The Holy Spirit and the Church. The mission of Christ and the Holy Spirit is brought to completion in the Church, which is the body of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit. This joint mission henceforth brings Christ's faithful to share in his communion with the Father in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit prepares men and goes out to them with his grace in order to draw them to Christ. The Spirit manifests the risen Lord to them, recalls his word to them, and opens their minds to the understanding of his death and resurrection. He makes present the mystery of Christ supremely in the Eucharist in order to reconcile them, to bring them into communion with God, that they may bear much fruit. Thus, the Church's mission is not in addition to that of Christ and the Holy Spirit, but is its sacrament. In her whole being and in all her members, the Church is sent to announce, bear witness, make present, and spread the mystery of the communion of the Holy Trinity, the topic of the next article. As St. Cyril of Alexandria wrote, all of us who have received one and the same Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit, are in a sense blended together with one another and with God. For if Christ, together with the Father's and his own Spirit, comes to dwell in each of us, though we are many, still the Spirit is one and undivided. He binds together the spirits of each and every one of us, and makes all appear as one in him. For just as the power of Christ's sacred flesh unites those in whom it dwells into one body, I think that in the same way, the one and undivided Spirit of God, who dwells in all, leads all into spiritual unity. Because the Holy Spirit is the anointing of Christ, it is Christ who, as the head of the body, pours out the Spirit among his members to nourish, heal, and organize them in their mutual functions, to give them life, send them to bear witness, and associate them to his self-offering to the Father and to his intercession for the whole world. Through the Church's sacraments, Christ communicates his holy and sanctifying Spirit to the members of his body. This will be the topic of Part 2 of the Catechism. These mighty works of God, offered to believers in the sacraments of the Church, bear their fruit in the new life in Christ according to the Spirit. This will be the topic of Part 3. As St. Paul wrote to the Romans, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with sighs too deep for words. The Holy Spirit, the artisan of God's works, is the master of prayer. This will be the topic of Part 4. In brief, St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. From the beginning to the end of time, whenever God sends his Son, he always sends his Spirit. Their mission is conjoined and inseparable. In the fullness of time, the Holy Spirit completes in Mary all the preparations for Christ's coming among the people of God. By the action of the Holy Spirit in her, the Father gives the world Emmanuel, God with us. The Son of God was consecrated as Christ, Messiah, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit at his incarnation. By his death and resurrection, Jesus is constituted in glory as Lord and Christ. From his fullness, he poured out the Holy Spirit on the apostles and the church. The Holy Spirit, whom Christ the Head pours out on his members, builds, animates, and sanctifies the church. She is the sacrament of the Holy Trinity's communion with men. Okay, there we are. Paragraphs 737 to 747. As I said, there's just this remarkable way in which we recognize that, oh my gosh, that the church is the extension of the joint mission of Son and Spirit. Now, what we're also going to see in the days to come is that the authority of Christ and the Holy Spirit are also extended to the church. Because if the mission of Christ and the Holy Spirit is extended to the church, the authority of Christ and the Holy Spirit are extended to the church as well, which is just remarkable. Again, what did the Holy Spirit do? Paragraph 737, we have this. The Spirit prepares men and women and goes out to them with his grace in order to draw them to Christ. So it gets us ready. We talked about that at the very beginning, from the very beginning of time. The Holy Spirit that was present with creation was also present in getting the people of God, right? The Jewish people of God, prepared to receive the Christ. So the Spirit prepares us. Secondly, the Spirit manifests the risen Lord to the apostles at first, but now, even now, the Holy Spirit manifests the risen Lord to us. Now, again, that was part of the past. That was part of what happened in the early church and with the original apostles and disciples. And the Holy Spirit is the one who manifested the risen Lord to them. But the Holy Spirit continues to work now. And the Holy Spirit continues to be the one who reveals Jesus to us. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit makes present the mystery of Christ supremely in the Eucharist. I mean, just to think about this. This is again amazing. All of the sacraments are even possible. They're possible because of the working of the Holy Spirit. And what do? They reconcile us. They bring us into communion with God so we can bear much fruit. And so I love this paragraph 738. Therefore, or thus, it says, the church's mission is not an addition to that of Christ and the Holy Spirit, but is its sacrament. Everything that the church is sent to announce, to bear witness, to make present, and to spread the mystery of the communion of the Holy Trinity. Now, this is just remarkable. Again, yes, the Holy Spirit fills the minds of those who teach and preach, right? The Holy Spirit, I hope and I pray, I trust, guides the teaching of the church, of course. But it's not just that. It's also to bear witness and make present and spread the mystery of the communion of the Holy Trinity. So, you know, it's not just enough to hear about Jesus, to hear about God and hear about his saving work, but we also have to make present and give access. That's what the church does, that the Holy Spirit does through the church, right? It brings us into communion with the Holy Trinity. And again, so man, years ago, I came across this book by Dr. Michael Barber, and it was on the topic of salvation. And I mentioned this quote before, but I'll mention it again. One quote from the book that just struck me as being revolutionary was that Jesus did not just come to save us from our sins, right? He didn't just come to save us from hell. He came to save us from being unchristlike. You know, that recognition of here we are born into an original sin, here born out of this whole relationship with the Lord. Here we are born broken. And salvation is not just salvation from eternal separation from God, although that's a big deal. It's salvation from being unchristlike. It's salvation from not living in communion with the Father. It's salvation from not being the people that we were created to be. And so here the church goes out, and the church is meant to not just, again, teach the truth, although we're supposed to teach the truth, not only live the truth, we're supposed to live the truth, but also to bring this new life to people and bring people to this new life. Why? Because that's what Jesus did, right? He didn't just teach. He healed. He reconciled. You know, he drove out demons. And above all, he gave us access to the Father. And so if that was his mission, the mission of Christ and the Holy Spirit, then that's our mission too. That's the mission of every person who belongs to the church, because that's the mission of the church. In fact, paragraph 739 says this. It says, Christ pours out the Spirit among his members. Why? To nourish, heal, and organize them in their mutual functions, to give them life, to send them to bear witness, and associate them to his self-offering to the Father and to his intercession for the whole world. And this is amazing, right? That because you've been given the Holy Spirit and you're part of the church, that not only Have you been commissioned in this unique way, whatever is particular to yourself, to in Christ and in the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring life, to bear witness, and to be associated with the self-offering of the Son to the Father, and to intercede for the whole world? That's part of the privilege, but it's also part of the responsibility every one of us has been given. Now, the last couple of paragraphs here before the in brief have a little note. I want to highlight this. It, in paragraph 739, it talks about the sacraments, and that's the topic of part two of the catechism. So the Holy Spirit makes those possible, right? Or makes those actual. And in paragraph 740, it talks about the mighty works of God, that we can actually live a new life in Christ. That's the topic of part three, like the moral life. In paragraph 741, it talks about how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. That's the Holy Spirit. The artisan of God's works is the master of prayer, and that's the topic of part four. So those are the four pillars of the second, third, and fourth pillar of the catechism. That's the sacraments, the moral life, and the life of prayer. And that is made actual, right, by the reality of the Holy Spirit working, animating, and suffusing the church. And so, super good. Tomorrow, as I said, we're going to start Article 9. And tomorrow we're starting Article 9, which is, I believe, in the Holy Catholic Church. So if you're joining us and you're not Catholic, this could be a really, really great opportunity to just learn more about what does the church believe about herself. And if you're not, you are Catholic, it's also a great opportunity to learn more about what does the church believe about herself. Because I think, as we probably have discovered in the last 104 days, there might be a lot of misconceptions we have about what is it that we believe about God. And we walk through, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to talk about what is it we believe about the temple of the Holy Spirit? What is it that we believe about the body of Christ, which is the church of the living God here on earth? Okay, as we start this next step tomorrow, I am just so grateful that you have stuck with us this many days. It truly is a grace. It truly is an honor to be able to walk with you every single one of these days. I am praying for you. Please pray for me. My name is Father Mike. I cannot wait to see you tomorrow. God bless.